Prabhupada expressed a desire that we have some land in Mayapur, have a center in Mayapur. And also he mentioned how we're going to have a wonderful, a big temple there. But he mentioned it very gradually. He gradually gave instructions about the program for the new temple. Although he mentioned it very early. Then after some difficulties, we acquired some land. Maybe you probably know that story. Tamil Krishna Maharaj tells that story. Because he acquired that land that was from the where the Bhajan Kutir is to where the lotus building is. that one strip of land that was the first land we had. And I went to visit Jananivas. He was there in, I think it was 1971, I think I went there in 1972. It could have been 71. Then there was the Bhajan Kutir was there. Nothing else. No other buildings. Oh, there was a. No, it was just a Bhajan Kutir. Then I became a devotee, or initiated, later on, and I came back in after about 2 years, 1974. At that time, the Lotus Building was almost complete. The deities had moved in there. It was a Gopurnima festival in 74, and the deities were in the temple, and Srila Prabhupada's room was finished. And the rest was like still under construction, so everyone had to sleep here and there wherever you could amongst the construction. So when Prabhupada came, they not in 74, before, when they first got the land, and they made that small house, straw house, and they put a huge sign up. Welcome Srila Prabhupada, something like that. Usually it's big, almost as big as, wide as this room. Prabhupada came here and he saw that sign. He said, oh, he said, my godbrother's gonna like this. Big Prabhupada was there. And a few days later, all his godbrothers came with their dandas. We want to know why you're taking the title of our Guru Maharaj. Anyway, they were pacified afterwards. So then Prabhupada instructed to build a nice building for the visiting devotees. He said he requested all the devotees that should go every year to Mayapur in Vrindavan. And they said, Prabhupada is costing us thousands of dollars. You know, but thousands of, hundreds of devotees to go. The Prabhupada is, you know, it's spending $40,000-$50,000, and we could do so much if we, you know. Prabhupada said, no, you don't know how important this is to go to the Dham. And he said another time, for spiritual advancement, 1 year in India is worth 2 years in the West. Because here you see the culture's going, the culture's intact. So he wanted the devotees to go to the Holy Dham and visit the places. And also that was a desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He says you should develop Mayapur Parikram. There's a t-shirt for this. I don't even know if you've seen it. Develop Mayapur Parikram by doing this parikram, all auspiciousness is spread throughout the world, something like this. So that was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's desire. And Srila Bhaktivinoda's prediction also that the Russians and the Europeans and Americans, they will join the Bengalis and the Indians dancing Jai Satchinandan. So then Prabhupada said we have to have a nice building so the foreigners can come and stay there, because they're not used to, you know, they're used to a different standard of living. So that was the first year, and Srila Prabhupada apologized for any inconvenience that, of course, his disciples were facing due to the, you know, building was incomplete, construction. Everyone was sick. Mostly that year, everyone was sick. Prabhupada walked on the roof one day, and so everyone was laying, so many people laying there. He said, "What's going on?" He said, "Why aren't they?" He said, "They're all sick, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "They're eating too much." not enough work. You have 24-hour kirtan. You should be active. Then, they didn't, first, when Prabhupada told them to build the building, they didn't know what kind of building to build. How big should it be? They was asking these questions, what kind of building you want. So Prabhupada said, where is our land? So they took him to the, walk down from the, to the, down where the building is. They told him the land, so he said, "Okay, put one stake here." And he put one stake, and Prabhupada started to face. "Okay, put one stake here." And then he turned right, faced. "Okay, put one stake here." And he turned right, put one stake here. So you got four stakes. "Okay, this is the size." And he make this building, three stories. This big wide verandas. He said, "So that's nice and cool. And we can also chant japa there nicely. And also people can sleep there." So now you get an engineer and fill it in. He also said that about the new temple. He said, you build something wonderful there, you should build a skyscraper. And he says, "You're Americans." He said, "So if you don't do something wonderful, what's the use of being American? If you don't, it's a fantastic building here, then what's the use of being American?" He was in reference to the new temple, Adbhut Mandir, the temple of the Vedic Planetarium, that's what it will be called. But he didn't say much in the beginning about that, but gradually he started to reveal his program for that. Then. So that building came, and there was a little goshala in the outside the Bhajan Kutir. When I came, that was in the beginning of 1974, there was a small goshala, there was about four cows. And a godown opposite for the construction. And so we was all living in the Bhajan Kutir. And Prabhupada came and moved somewhere else. And there's a small deity room next to the Bhajan Kutir. Lord Chaitanya was there, and then Radha Krishna came. Radha Madhava, they came to move into the temple. Then Prabhupada said that, he said, "This building is not big enough. The building is full up. Then you have to make another one. You have to make a bigger building." So I said, "Where should we put it, Srila Prabhupada?" I said, "Where is the border of our land?" By that time we acquired more land. So they showed him the border. And they said, "Okay, you build it down there." I said, "How far down?" "So from the road," he said, from the beginning of the land on the road. I said, "You build it down there. How far, Srila Prabhupada? How much land have we got?" He said, "You know, was it 800 feet? Okay, that." But it was the longest building in West Bengal. So then they was building that. Bobo used to watch also. He'd be watching, and someone actually called Jabutaka or Amananda. Said, this fellow here, this worker, he's not doing, I've been watching him for 25 minutes, he's not doing anything, go and fire him. then he wanted it finished in 3 months, the building. Because he said, when the devotees come, they'll have nowhere to stay. So it was about, October or November, I think. So I said, how are you going to build it before the festival? Just build it. Just go ahead. Get 100 men. And I remember even the sannyasis were running with bricks, you know, mixing the cement. Everyone was involved with that, with the laborers. The sannyasis also helping. Trying to finish it. So they finished something. Somehow other, then all the devotees got a place to stay. wasn't really finished, but some areas were finished. And then, before that, they made the boundary wall alongside the road. And that was the next constructions where the devotees used to stay. It's quite austere. It's like a shed with the asbestos roof. But everyone, the devotees used to stay there. Then the big Prasadam pavilion. That was next. And then the long building. That was during Prabhupada's time. And they have a rose garden as you come in. So when Prabhupada came in, he said, this is your first success. Nice rose garden. Now they put a huge barbed wire fence all around it. It looks terrible for some reason. I think everyone's stealing the roses, so you have a nice garden and they put this big barbed wire fence that looks like the border, you know, or prison. That's a funny idea. So. Then Prabhupada would tell us to invite, now you invite all the guests, members. And we had one festival there, Janmashtami, and we decorated the temple very nicely. And Prabhupada come down and said, where are all the guests? Because not many people were coming that time, it's 100 miles from Calcutta, it's all rice paddies. And so he was annoyed, you decorated the temple so nicely but you didn't invite the guests. So he was upset about that. He said, this is for preaching. We're doing this for preaching. He said, another time they asked, why are you building this big buildings? He said that's to attract people. First he said it's to his foreign disciples, but he said actually this is to attract people, otherwise they won't come. If I put an advert in a newspaper, Bhaktivedanta Swami is giving Bhagavad discourse on the side of the Ganges under a tree, he said no one will come. He said, but when they see this big building, then they'll come. Ah, Swamiji. So people, they're attracted by, you know, opulence and an external show. So somehow or other we get them here, this is our program. You make a very beautiful place, very nice place, you develop it. He said, I've given you the kingdom of God. He said, now you develop it to your heart's content and then enjoy it. And so gradually it's become more and more a very famous place. Everyone recognizes it as one of the best places in Bengal. Lots of people are coming now. Otherwise, there's nowhere else to go. you can go to Darjeeling, somewhere like that. Otherwise, they come to Mayapur. There's not many places to go there in Mayapur, in Bengal. Unless you go up in the mountains. So we see every year it's more and more people are coming. Then we made the nice gardens. Then when Srila Prabhupada left the planet, then we built the huge Samadhi Mandir, which is a big monument. The fantastic building for the state. So let's speak, that became a big attraction. And then more people increased, and then we increased the temple. And added another building, that conch building, for guests. Then they made another building, the Gada Bhavan, another long building, guest house. And just recently they've half finished another Bangsi Bhavan, beyond. If you go right past the long building, then there's a Brahmachari Ashram, or the Brahmachari Kitchen. And then there's a new guest house down there, so half complete. So then the Brahmachari Ashram came up. Gurukul areas, and then all the Grihastha area, all the Grihastha houses started to come up. So if you go on the Samadhi, if you go on the roof and look around, you can actually see the beginning of a city. It's quite extensive now. Everywhere you look, there's a lot of there's a lot of development. And one of the next projects will be a retirement home for the brahmacharis. Some brahmacharis are thinking, what am I going to do when I get old? Yeah, they'll kick me out because I won't be able to do any service. We say we're supposed to be learning to be completely dependent on Krishna, and you're concerned about the future. So they have that concern, some of them. What will happen in the future? And also the ones that want to get married, they have a dilemma, because the standard they're living now, they won't be able to live on that standard. They don't live like you brahmacharis, in one or two rooms. And mostly they're from the village, these Bengali boys, mostly. So they don't have good education, they won't get a good job, they can't get a good high-paid job. And what they, as brahmacharis, they're living like I forgot the rank. But they're worth about 1,500 rupees a month. Bombay, that's nothing, but in all the local people, they maintain a whole family on that. So you can hire someone, cheaper than a brahmachari. So they're maintaining their whole family on the local people. They maintain a whole family on that. So if they want to get married, then that means they're living at this standard. Now they got to divide that for two and then three when the child comes. So they don't know what to do. So they're frightened to put on white. They lose their brahmachari facility at the same time. So you see, there's a big rush to go to the West. And what can you do unless you marry a rich girl if you don't have any money? Then you've got to reduce your standard of living. So it's a social problem that we have. Because it's the first generation in ISKCON. We didn't have any parents, Like Maharaj was saying, the oldest person was like 27 in the beginning. And we left everything. We left our parents, we left our jobs, So there's no infrastructure there. We had no parents, no grandmothers, no grandfathers, devotees to go to and, help us. So it'll take, it takes like a couple of generations to get settled. The financial basis to get settled, that your parents can give you something when you go, when you your parents, they have to work now and establish something, then at least their children won't have the same problem, because the temple can't be expected to pay to support everyone, unless they want to live really simply, like Brahmanas, then it's, that's okay. But everyone's different. Anyway, they decided on a program, because everything there is departmentalized for easier management, and also for an incentive to that the departments can develop more. Then they become, each department became separate, a separate entity with its own accounts and management. So it was hoped by giving the departments independence that they would, you know, use their brains to develop. Otherwise, if you're a department head and you're just signing the check, you don't know where the money's coming from, it's easy, you know. But then when it comes to the central, they have a headache. So if you have to raise your own money, then you're a little bit more careful how you spend the money, and you know. And it's up to you to, if you want to increase, it's up to you to maintain and to increase. And you've got to, so that worked quite well. There's a few department, you know, they became a bit separatist for a certain period of time. But after that, it got better. Still there a little bit, you know, this is my department. That's your department, and there's, you know, so there's, that's, we hope that will go later on. And, so they decided for the brahmacharis, then we should build a place for when they get old or infirm. Then it was decided we'll tax all the departments 2% of their income for this. 1% was to go for the brahmacharis when they got old, and 1% was for the brahmacharis who want to get married. But after much discussion, A lot of departments said they didn't want to give 1% for those that want to get married. They said married life means you support yourself. That was the idea. And then, because if you do that, then they have one kid, two kids, then they have 10 kids, and you know, you have to maintain it. And we haven't got the infrastructure for that as yet. I'd like to say we're still in the first generation practically, and this kind of still there. So we don't have that social structure as yet. So then the 2% just went for the old brahmacharis. So that they'll start. They're supposed to start next month on construction for the older senior brahmacharis. Then the other ones we'll have to find some. You know, the ones. A lot of them do go to America. A lot. Or anywhere. Problem is, when they get out there, they lose the idea. They think, you know, just get some. I go out there for a few years, get some money, build a house, put a little bit of money in the bank, then I can go back and live. They don't come with that. Maybe a few do, but they don't come with that intent. They actually come to be, you know, sadhus. But then the opportunity is there, and it's like a dream for a village boy that you can go to America. It's like a dream, and the president's coming and handing out tickets because they need the devotees in the West. So that what goes on. So maybe all those ones, and they're building a lot of houses. When you go down to the from our place to the Jogpit, you see so many houses coming up, and they'd be the similar colour. This peach, and deep red and peach. They're all this gone, practically all this gone. The ones close to us, they're all this gone devotees who had gone to the West and come back, build a house for their mother, or they build a house and bring their mother there. So that much culture they have. So so you see that even outside the campus, the city is developing, they're all devotees. They're still faithful and devotees. Otherwise, you have to have some, you know, they have to do. Eventually, they'll find, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, so eventually they'll find some kind of industry to to support themselves if they don't want to live simply. There's a difference between a brahmana. He's a brahmana, a person in the mode of goodness. Then they can live. They're not dependent. Brahmanas are autocrats. They don't have to listen to anyone. They don't have any factory authority. The brahmanas, they don't need anything. They're dependent on Krishna, ultimately. And they're satisfied in any condition. So it's easy for them. So, you know, brahmacharya is also supposed to be like completely dependent in the mode of goodness and dependent on the dependent on the Lord. So therefore, they can, you know, they're not. It doesn't bother them. These kind of things don't bother the people like that. So let's see how we're developing and the. We have two Grihastha paras. One is for the locals and one is for the foreigners. They're quite opulent, they're quite opulent compared with, you know, Mayapur. They're nice, they're quite big houses. Then the Bengali section is, you know, whatever they have, whatever we built for them, you know. They're very simple. And generally they want to go there, you know, if they have an opportunity, they'll move into the big house, obviously. And once you've had some standard, it's very difficult to go back. You know, especially for the ladies, the woman. You know, once she's used to a nice kitchen with marble and gas, she's not going to go back to the floor with cow dung. And it's difficult for them. Once you're out there, it's difficult to go back again. But that's these are just the natural social problems that they take generations to overcome. Probably take about another, I would say, you know, third generation, then it'll be you know, peaceful, sane, and, you know, they'll be established. The economy will be established. Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj is, they're building a new gurukul. That's from the main gate. You go down and way out. There's another road which goes from the Chaitanya Mount Jogpit down to the ghat on the Jalangi. So that road, that marks the area of our master plan. So right on that road, it's a long way. You know, it's 15 minutes to walk. Then they build a new school, library, and they'll put the straw houses there also. But they've built a brick building, and they hope to reopen that his school, because they're teaching just the brahminical aspects, whereas the other gurukul, they're teaching the academics and all that. Yeah. But actually, you see, that school is more productive than the other school. You know, they all learn computers. They get a GEC level from the British Commission, and, you know, they get all these papers and things like that. But you see, it's the other boys, the Brahminical boys that are in demand. They're going all around the world, opening temples, you know, lighting fires and laying, you know, installing deities. They're in demand, whereas, you know, everyone does computer nowadays, and it's not a big deal. But some of the parents nowadays think you've got to have this to live in the material, live in the world, and, you know, you're depriving them, and even some of the Gurukul boys, they say, what have this gone done to me? They separated me from, you know, and they're a bit remorseful. I mean, it's due to our we didn't train them properly, and due to their karma, and their parents' karma, that they, you know, their parents came voluntarily, they accepted voluntarily, but you don't know what kind of child you're going to get in your womb, if, you know, and you may have came voluntarily, but why should I, they may have a different opinion. So it didn't kind of work out. We expected all the children to come out like Dhruva and Prahlad Maharaj. But it didn't actually happen like that, either due to our not training them properly, giving them proper consciousness, or one thing and another, or our abuse of the children, because the scores, it was, we in the beginning, people said, start Gurukul. So okay, we started Gurukul. There were no teachers. No one had any. I was a teacher in the beginning. I was in charge of the Gurukul. I was the ashram teacher. I got six boys. No one ever told me how to deal with children. I never had any teaching experience. So, well, that was different. But even the teachers, they didn't have any teaching experience. So that's how we started. So naturally, there's going to be some problems. I say it takes a few generations to, you know, when you've got a grandfather and grandmother to go to, you know, and then they say, okay, don't, you know, keep your seeker on, you know, don't hit the roof. We've experienced this before. This is what you do in this situation. We don't have anyone to go to like that. You know, so this is, you know, we're pioneers. So we left everything out. But I guess, you know, Prabhupada said that when he told someone in a dream, he said, when I leave, he said, there'll be great turmoil in the society. So he asked that person to help. Because really ISKCON, what Prabhupada was preaching was pure devotional service. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving. So if you concentrate on that, then that is the purpose of ISKCON, is to disseminate pure devotion at the process of pure devotional service. It's actually for Paramahansas. This is the Paramahansa lifestyle, it's just doing everything for Krishna. So really it's for Paramahansas, ISKCON, although people think it's maybe materialistic. And so if that's why you come, then that's great. What ISKCON is offering, as far as my realization, what ISKCON is offering is a chance. You can engage the senses 24 hours a day in the service of Krishna. There's no greater gift than that. That's the perfection of life. But if you want something, but if you go for something else, or you feel a need for something else, which there may be a need for something else, especially for the grihasthas, because they got children, there's education, there's clothes, there's you know, you got to maintain, there's, you know, these are heavy responsibilities that they have to take on. And so then they concentrate on that. So then the essence is, it's not so, as Prabhupada said, it's about 75% less chance for grihastha to go back to Godhead. Unless you're, you know, Krishna conscious, of course, then there's no difference. But in the beginning, because of that responsibility, because then you've got to give so much energy for that. You have to do it. That's part of the. Not only that, you got to maintain the brahmacharis, the vanaprastha, and the sannyasis. That's also the responsibility of a grihastha, because those other three, they don't work. They're not producing. It's only the grihasthas that produce. They're only the ones that work. So they have to maintain the whole society, not just your family. You have to care about all the others, because they're all in the renounced order of life. Yet they have to eat, and there's, you know, not fruits and roots available everywhere anymore. So then who's supplying the food? It's the grihasthas. So it's a big responsibility. So that's the main ashram. All the other ashrams are coming from the grihastha ashram, you see. So it's a big responsibility. Which we'll have to wait some time for it, you know, some generations before it actually is comfortable. If you wanna like, you have a whole community in one place. Here's like a mutt. Your place is like a mutt. There's only renunciates live inside. But there you got mutt, you got the Prabhupada called it a temple. He didn't say mutt. The Gaudiya mutt, all the other temples, they're mutts. There's only retired people living in there. But here Prabhupada said, we're making a city, so there's young people coming, they're having children, having families, making businesses. So it's not, you know, in that sense, it's not a mutt. But we do have we do have the renunciates within that. So it's a different ball game there to what it is here. here it's different. There there's no city. You know, but it's a consciousness that is important. So we've been hearing when we have had a couple of programs where Maharajas have been speaking, you know, Radhanath Maharaj and Ranjan Maharaj and others, and Dr. Chiru Maharaj, they were just speaking about very esoteric subjects they were speaking about, right, to the congregation. It's like pure, unalloyed devotional service. Very, very high topics, you know. See, that's the best way to preach. Just concentrate on pure, unalloyed devotional service. Everything else is going to fall into place. But if you start talking about other things, if you're coming up and you have to deal with the eating, sleeping, mating, defending problems, then you get sidetracked on that. So here you have a better system. You let the grihasthas do all that stuff. That's the best system. They're doing it. They're experienced. Sannyasis shouldn't have to do this kind of thing. So you've got a more ideal situation there. Otherwise, you're complete. What takes most time is other people's problems, as far as I'm concerned. If people come up to me and they want to, you know, have this and that, and then you have to, you know, encourage them and try to answer the as best possible thing. But the if you're just concentrating on the main aspect of what ISKCON is you've got a chance to engage in pure devotional service. That's the best thing. What we're supposed to be. This is the goal. And not only that, then we've got to make everyone else pure devotees. So that's a problem. That's difficult. So if you realize our task that we have, formidable task, our own formidable task of, you know, living amongst all our uncontrollable senses to try to become Krishna conscious, pure devotees. Then on top of that, we've got to make other people pure devotees. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. So I'm one man, what can I do? So my order to everyone born in India. That's my order, that you become Krishna conscious and you make everyone else Krishna conscious. That's your order. I'm excused from that order. I wasn't born in India. Actually, he said, I order everyone in the universe. Another time, I order everyone in the universe. So that's a problem. I mean, that's a big problem. So if we realize intensity of that problem, then all these other problems become small. How to eat, how to sleep, how to make, how to defend. They're all small problems. They're insignificant compared with that problem. So then you can take it, you can look at it a much more removed distance. So you don't think I'm overwhelmed by that thing, because you've got Krishna, we got a bigger problem. We have to satisfy Krishna's problem. Make everyone Krishna conscious. So in that way there's a difference when you've got a community like Mayapur, where it's a city, everyone's got to live and interact, and there's supposed to be social activities and all that kind of thing. And you're supposed to be one family, and then so they arrange cultural programs. Some people are into that now, and have, you know, a few times a week they have cultural programs with, you know, dramas and things like that. There's a lot goes on. Then they ask you to come, and you say, well, you know, we're not really interested in that kind of thing. And say, we're trying to make a social community, you're not coming. But the renouncers, they don't go. Brahmacharis and sannyasis, they get other things. It's not, they don't need that kind of thing. You don't have to go and watch dramas and plays and people playing music or, you know, cultural things. It's not really for the renunciates. It's not really for the brahmacharis, and it's only for the grihasthas and the children and all that. Really. Although they're nice to go to. We go sometimes, but some people think you have to go every time. You know, if you don't go, you're being unsociable. You know, we're one family. But within that one family, there's distinction. There is distinction. There's different, the different mentalities there. So somehow or other, you know, you have to wait and see how to overcome these problems, these issues that do come up. See, in the Vedic times of the Vedic city, the Prabhupada did mention something like Vedic city. That there was areas. If you had the temple, then around the temple lived the brahmanas. You see, in Sri Rangam, right? You have all those different walls which were built over many generations. Inside, all the brahmanas are living. then out in the next section there's all the countries. Then the next section there's the Vaishyas that live in. Then outside, of all the way out, there's suitors all around and bringing in the produce. So there is distinction. So although our philosophy, we don't distinguish between, you know, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, that's considered an apparat. But still, the culture is that we still maintain the culture, although we're not supposed to think like that. That the Vaishnava doesn't have any designation, because that means that when you designate someone, then you're referring to the conditional nature. Grihastha is for the conditional nature, and Brahmacharya is a conditional nature. It's not a spiritual thing. But service to Krishna is a spiritual thing. So you see, everyone is engaged in service to Krishna. So that is a Vaishnava way of looking at it. But still, amongst that, there are divisions there. We do have conditional natures, and so those conditional natures, they have specific duties to perform. And so therefore you associate with those in your own nature. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that we're a little bit removed in Kali Yuga because the system is, you know, falling apart, or it's become corrupt and falling apart, become the caste system. It's just based completely on that bodily identification. But Prabhupada wanted an ideal city. He said, well, you see, people of all the nations will come and live harmoniously together in Krishna consciousness. He said, then when that happens, then he said he wants that built for that city. The center of it will be this Abhut Mandir. When he finally gave all of the program, he said in that Abhut Mandir will be it will be called the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. He said he wanted a huge dome and the universe hanging in the dome, so you could actually see the universe and the different. Then there'll be exhibits as you go up and around. You go into all the different lokas, starting from Patal Loka or Sitar. Then you go up, and there'll be different exhibits, different rooms you'll go in, from the lower planets to the various different higher planets. Not every planet, but so it gives you a sampling of what life is like in that particular place. There's multimedia and dioramas, things like that to see. Then on the top will be Golok. It'll be Radha Krishna Gopis. You go through the material universe, through the Brahmanda, and then you come into the Vaikuntha worlds. Then you'll see Vaikuntha, and you'll see Ayodhya, Dwarka, Mathura, and Golok will be there. That was Prabhupada's envision for that. So it'll be an education. Apart from that, there'll be other things. You'll see some of our devotees from BI are working on different media presentations to preach to people how to, you know, of the in a scientific way and logical way to get them to understand that, you know, change their concept, because otherwise you think it's just a dull exhibition. Right, because what the scientists, they think this is the only place with life, or at least life as we know it. So they're very skeptical about life anywhere else. So we want to. Sadaputu was, yes, there's one. You put on these glasses, and you see everything upside down. So you get all the people come in and put on the glasses, and then the lecture begins, and everyone's going like this, you know, because everything's upside down. But after some time, you become conditioned, and then you adjust, and then it's okay. So then the presentation is that, you know, you see everything according to your perspective. You know, you judge the world according to your perspective. So we've been taught so many things, and we actually believe in them, but you know, they may not be right. Then at the end of the lecture, it says everyone take off their glasses, and they take off the glasses, and everything's upside down. They haven't got the glasses on. Because they've adjusted to put things the right way. Their retina, you know, it goes whatever it does. So when they take the glasses off again, they're normal, but they still see things upside down. So then there's like an evidence that, you know, it's just conditioning. You're just conditioned to think like this, you're just conditioned to see like that, and you take it for a reality. But it may not be. So the simple things like that, and then other, you know, practical evidences which the scientists are covering up, etc. And then you got the philosophy anyway. So the people should, by the time they go in, it'll take hours and hours. It'll be such a big thing. It's like, you're going to be there less than half, unless you're going just in for darshan. But if you go through the whole thing, by the time you come out, you'll be brainwashed. That means your brain will be nice and clean, right? Brainwashing. Then you'd have probably a different perspective. So that was Prabhupada's program, because he said that is a vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That is a vision of Nityananda. Bhaktivinoda has had a vision of that. He's seen that temple. He said the temple is already there. You just have to put some bricks, and if you don't do it, someone else will do it. He says, so if you do it, you'll get the credit. ISKCON will get the credit. If we don't do it, someone else will do it. He said, because that is predicted by Thakur Bhaktivinoda. So that was, and they said it should be a city for 5,000 people. So they said, well, what happens when the city's full up? Because then you go a little distance away, 10 kilometers or whatever it is, then you make another one. not on the scale. And then when that's full up, you go another 20 kilometers, whatever it is, and make another one. So it's like this, you gradually spread out. He said, and people come from all around the world to visit Mayapur, all the sociologists and people, they would take note of this, and they would go back and try and introduce in their own countries, because they'll say that here people are living happily together, which is what the government wants. But you don't find it in Kali Yuga, even in your own countries. Every country they're torn about by internal conflicts. So Prabhupada predicted that. He said in the future they will come. He said when the economic situation collapses in the West, we had a recent, you know, that couple of buildings were knocked down in America, and you know, who was it? They were saying $1 trillion. So many millions of people lost their jobs, right? Some of these airplane companies were closed down, right? New Zealand, Switzerland, wasn't it? Back up, simply because everyone was scared to fly. Because the thing was so widespread. I think he said millions of people lost jobs, and you know, it was just two buildings. But not that, the whole psychology behind it. You know, then everyone became fearful. And so what to speak when something big happens? So Prabhupada said, just wait and see. If you're born into this, you know, you're born after the Second World War, and after the 50s, 60s, it's all been good times practically. The economy is growing, and you know, in those Western countries, and you think that's it. You're born into that, and you think this is how life always was and always will be. But some countries, people are born into wars, so like Yugoslavia or something. Some people are born. I've only known my whole life the country's been at war. I want to go somewhere where there's peace. The whole life, it's fear. You're living fear because there's a civil war going on. You know, for 20 years or so, 15 years. So you're conditioned into that particular frame. So that was Prabhupada's idea for the to let people come and see. He said because if you don't set this system, and the system he was referring to was Varnashram system. He said, if you don't do it, he said, that's what we need to revitalize the world. He was glorifying Gandhi. He said, there's some wonderful ideas. And he said that, so we have to set up these models, model laws, because if you don't follow, how are you going to preach to others to follow? You tell them to follow, it's very difficult anyway. You tell them to follow this system, but they need a model. How can you preach to them to do it if you're not doing it yourself? So he wanted a system, a lifestyle based on the Varnashram system. So we accept the lifestyle of Varnashram. We don't really accept the philosophy of Varnashram. But this was actually Prabhupada's desire. So it's a big task, and you don't I know some people are optimistic that they can happen very quickly, like Tejas. Prabhupada gave him a lot of instructions in this area. Maybe he can give class tomorrow, and Bhagavatam is about speaking about, you know, you should do your occupational duty and worship Krishna. So he has a lot of experience in this field. He has a lot of optimism. I don't have so much myself. I don't expect to see much in this generation, but anything can happen, you know. You know, if some catalyst happens, then that means the whole thing is the whole materialistic civilization is brought down. So, you know, if the oil dries up, or you know, they put some atomic bombs on the oil field, and you can't use them for so many years. You know, the oil's there, but you can't get it because it's all radioactive, something like that. Then everything packs up, and everyone gets down on their knees and starts digging the ground and trying to get some food. So Krishna, that way Krishna forces, and that's history. That's history, you see, and the empires that come up and then they become degraded, morally corrupt, then that society is finished. That's history. And as the world gets more and more globalized, whatever they call, then these catastrophes will happen bigger and faster. You see, someone in Afghanistan has an idea to do something in the United States, and its reaction is felt throughout the world. You know, countries go, you know, airlines go bankrupt and companies fall down, and you see, it's two people, but that's because globalization. Everyone's connected with one another, so it's like the domino effect, you know, a pack of cards, you know, one goes, and because everything's interdependent, that's what they want, you know. They made a Europe into one, and then they're looking for that world government and the one class, but it's not to be. It's not to be. You can't make one class, there are different classes. So at least, and Prabhupada was aiming at when he first started, he said, there should be at least one class of brahmanas. Some ideal perfect men, even just a few. That was what Prabhupada was concentrating on in the beginning. He said, I want to make some first class brahmanas. There's at least the head is there, then the rest will come automatically. If there's no head, nothing's going to happen. But if the intelligence is there, so that was his mission, that was his goal, and his instructions from Mayapur. So you should be self-sufficient as far as possible. We're not very successful in following that, and build this, make this wonderful city for preaching the glories of the Holy Name, and live peacefully there, so that people can come and they will follow, and then they'll follow the example. But it is, that was Prabhupada's mission, and so we have to wait for the new temple. This year next year, 2004 is Prabhupada's 108th birthday. That means the Gaur Purnima after the next one. So they want to have a major festival then, like the centennial festival, and also the Panchatattva, a big Panchatattva will be installed. They're being Lord Chaitanya has just been the model has been made in wax. We had the models in Mayapur, and maybe you saw them, there's around the side of the Samadhi. It's at 9 feet 7 inches to the top of his hands. So, Jananavasu will be going to Madras in a couple of weeks with others, and they'll give the final okay on the model, and then they'll cast that model. So Nithai Gaur will be cast by Gaur Purnima, then the other three will take, you know. So by 2004 they want to make that a major opening, a major festival installing Gaur Nithai, and they want to make a big fund raising campaign, and with that money have a big festival, everything free, install the deities, and also and lay a foundation stone for the new temple, and actually, you know, actually really start to dig, start to put some get the thing going. That's the latest discussions that are going on right now. Because once it starts, the temple will cost $100 million. That's already been trimmed down. It was for $300 million before. And the idea now is to actually immediately start the temple. Otherwise, it was going to build up. There's a small planetarium, then a big, then the Vedic planetarium, and then the temple. But I think they're going to actually try to do the temple first. But you know, Panchatattva then, that's what they've been working on for a couple of years. But now with this deed is coming and going to be installed. It's given the Mayapur project coordinators more impetus to, you know, actually start the building. It's what we want to see. When something starts coming out, then people will give. They're doing these professional surveys to see if they can raise the money in America and India and London. But you see, no one's going to give any money till they see something coming out. Yeah. But once you start, yeah. And that's how the system is in India, right? As soon as something's there, you put the deities in, and then you finish it later. It shouldn't be like that. Yeah, the system is, before you install a deity, there should be the temple, there should be enough land to support the deity. But anyway, that's how it works nowadays, right? As soon as possible, you put the deity in. Because what can you do? You're not sponsored by the kings. They don't sponsor you anymore. They take away now. They take away land, etc. The government doesn't help because it's not following the proper dharma. So when you come this year, you will. Probably be some explanation about that, because this year will be a build-up for the next year. So if we all work diligently and pray to Lord Chaitanya and Mahaprabhu, that we can fulfill Prabhupada's desires, maybe at least we can get the temple up during our lifetime. Because it will probably take. It's 12 years to build that temple. So by our desire, sincere desire, these things will happen. That's all we need to do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in control. If we act as good instruments, then it must happen. Otherwise, you know, you have to see it happen in another birth. Or someone else can do it. The program will happen, sooner or later. Prabhupada wanted it finished by 1986, September, by Mahaprabhu's 500th birthday. 86, wasn't it? That's when he wanted it finished. We're still talking about starting. Yeah, Prabhupada was way ahead. Can't keep up with him. If Prabhupada was here, it probably would be finished. Right? If he was physically amongst us, and pushing us. जय श्री माया प्रधान की जय गोपाल की जय गोल बकरीन की जय बाबा हाँ 20 days that's longer हाँ Yeah. And the meetings are earlier. See, none of the GBC, they have their meetings 2 weeks before. And they're so exhausted when they come out, they just want to. They have important work to do. It's a long, you know, a month away is a long time. So it's trying to combine. because then you don't get any of those exalted devotees to come out with us to mix with the devotees, go out on the prakrams, because you know they have to get back to the things, so they want to like do some overlapping, and all the classes are there before the festival starts. You got all the leading devotees of ISKCON, they're giving very wonderful classes. And some people are saying, I'm coming for the GBC meetings, not the festival. Because they get all the association of those old devotees and nice classes every day in the morning, Prakritam. And then the festival time, then everyone goes, 90% go. So they're trying to find some means to welcome both in at the same time. So it'll be 20 days, extra days we'll have there. For purification. And the festival is free this year. Free accommodation, free prasad. No festival fees. You can pay also, but if you want free, then you have to take what's given. You're used to this. You only have one room anyway. You're used to the dormitory life in Khijri. So that's you know, it's nice that people are coming forward and sponsoring. That's nice. Encourage more people to come. But the popularity is increasing. Especially in India. Everywhere, if you go to Calcutta, people say, Hare Krishna Mayabha. Yeah. If you ever go to Calcutta, you're dressed with tea like, Hare Krishna Mayabha. It's very famous. And so many people, that's why they're just building in their guest house. Because so many people are coming. And now it's all year. Before, it was rainy season, you could sit down and do some serious reading, but it's not like that anymore. All year they come, people come in. So it's always, every year it's increasing, more and more and more. It's like your congregation here. Then sometimes your devotees come up and help us develop. In Calcutta, trying to develop a congregation there now. We have to call the Chaupati devotees up. Experienced devotees to do it. And set up counseling systems in Mayapur and whatever you do, we want to copy. So Dave Amrita and other people, devotees come now and again and assist us. So you're the pathfinders in this aspect, developing this, to develop the preaching congregation. Everyone looks to Chaupati. Babaji was saying, my godbrother was saying, everyone is talking about Chaupati, isn't he? Udoyananda. Everyone is looking to Chaupati, taking inspiration from that. How do they do it? We did the same thing in Mayapur. We did. What can we do when we want? What's the best working model in ISKCON? So we looked at all the like communities and modeled what was going on, and Chaupati was the best, so let's adopt there. It's a little different situation, of course, a little different issue, you know, you're operating from a city. Yeah, Mayapur is 100 miles from a different situation. But the principles, we're accepting those principles. Especially the behavior dealings, is that's what sticks in people's minds, is the atmosphere that they come into and the reception, and that's what they take back with them, the mood of the place. So that's what we want to develop, so that, you know, they want to come back again and again, get purified and you know, become inspired and want to help. So we're grateful. Very thankful for all the help that you're showing and exemplifying. Charanas Prabhu sends his pranams to all of the devotees in Champati. He asked me to convey his pranams. We're going swimming today? Huh? You go every day?
Nowadays we don't know what happened. No, for a long time. Yeah.
You 1 o'clock your lunch, no?
We can go. We can go. Come back by 1 o'clock. It's close, but.
No, if you're going, I'll come along with you.
We'll go along with you, yeah.